Book of Psalm, chapter 88 this morning, verse number 1. Remember that the psalm is a song. Some of them are called songs of degrees, psalms of degrees, and they were sung as they went up to the top of the Temple Mount. The psalms are categorized in what's called five books of the psalms. And you go through them, a certain number reaches in the first book, Genesis. Second book, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The Psalms are loaded with practical information because they speak directly to the heart. And what you're going to be reading here in Psalm 88 is not necessarily a doctrinal thesis, but it is a practical thing that applies to your life. Some of you in this house this morning, it may speak directly to you. A lot of times things that happen to us, we don't tell other people about it. But we're going through something. Let's read it. Psalm 88, verse 1. O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I'm counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength, free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from thy hand. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves. Selah. Father, anoint your word now, and anoint the messenger that gives it forth. In thy holy name, amen. This is one of those psalms that David cries out to God. He cries out from darkness. It's dark. It's very dark when David prays this prayer. Dark spiritually. David doesn't know where to turn. There's nobody that can offer any help to him. And he simply cries out. If you'll notice how he starts the psalm, he says, O Lord God of my salvation. See, notice, God, we have a comparison going on here. He says, God, you're my salvation, but I don't see it anywhere. You're my Savior, but what's happening to me? And then he gets to the depths of his soul. And in this, he reveals what many of us will go through in our life at one time or another. The darkness settles in. The reason it settled in on that cross when the Lord Jesus died is because he's the light of the world. And without him, the earth is in darkness. And believe me, there is no darkness like darkness outside our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the light of life. So the writer in Psalm chapter number 88, he finishes it with this word, Selah. And I'm sure you've been told time and time and time again that this means stop, think, meditate. Look what you're reading. Get off somewhere and get alone with God and pray over it. Let God's Spirit speak to you. That's what it means. Take time to meditate on what I just read to you this morning. Here's the sad thing about life. If you lived any time, then you understand this about life. That everything's going fine today. But tomorrow you may be as David, crying unto God. And you're in the darkness. And you didn't ask for the darkness. As a matter of fact, you can't see any place in your life where you chose the darkness. But it's dark nonetheless. And so what do we do with that? When the heavens turn to brass, as some would say, what happens? What's really going on? Well, the Bible tells us in the book of Psalm, chapter number 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. You see, my friend, sometimes God has to turn the light out. It has to get dark for you to really begin to comprehend who and what you are. You see, a lot of times we follow things that aren't really the true light. We listen to things that aren't really the truth. And we get caught up in our religious services and our worship and all of this and that. But the truth of the matter is, a lot of it is a man-made thing. And God desires truth in the inward parts. He's a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so David cries out, Oh God, what you have done? You've left me. I'm abandoned. Where are you? I need you. And some of you right now don't have answers to some of your questions. You're in a dark place. You're in a pit. You're in a hole. Well, take it as a time when God begins to show you the light, because He takes all the other lights away. When He shows you the light, you'll see it. And when you see that light, it's going to lead you to somewhere. And where is that, preacher? It's going to lead you into your heart. The Bible said the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, He said. Nothing is hid from the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. All things are naked and open. We may be deceived. Our heart may deceive us. I've heard people say, well, if I know my heart, well, I don't know mine. And I don't think any of us really know our heart the way we think we do. But God does. And God is a gracious God. He's a good God. Amen. And when He shows us something about ourselves, it's because He wants to heal it. He wants to help us. He wants to speak to us. And sometimes we're too busy. Our heart is shut off. Our ears are closed. Our mind is occupied. And we don't have time for God. Oh, I know. We go to church and we go through our religious rituals. We even read our Bibles and pray. We do out of our repetition and just do it because we do it. But it's not really real anymore to you, and it's been lost, and you don't have what you used to have. And you say, I don't have any answers, preacher. That's all right. Answers don't come in words. Answers come in a person. John chapter number 8 and verse number 33, 18 verse 33 says this. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, saying, thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? In plain words, he went to his heart. Pilate, do you want to know? Or are you just simply following along with the crowd? Are you going with the flow? Are you part of the trend? Or do you really want to know? There's an awful lot of people out there that they hide behind everything. They hide behind all kinds of stuff because they don't really want to know. The Bible said you'll know if you follow on to know the Lord. He'll make Himself known to you. If you cry out to God and say, where are you? He'll let you know where He is. Because if you really believe in your heart and your soul and the inner man that you want to know. Don't you want to know? Don't you want to know where you're going to go when you die? Don't you want to know what sin's about? Don't you want to know when you take a mother and a father, a son or daughter, husband, wife, and you lay their body out here? We're within a stone's throw of a graveyard when you carry that body out there. Don't you want to know what's happening? The most precious thing to you in this world? Some of you have never given up anything precious. And you've sailed through life, and it's just been like one big happy party, and everything's gone the way you want it to. But mark my words, the day will come when you see that loved one take their last breath, and your heart will break, and you will cry, and you'll weep, and you'll be like you never thought you'd ever be, because you'll learn something about yourself. And it'll be at that moment that you really begin to understand what's valuable and what's not. You won't care what kind of car you drove to the graveyard. It won't make any difference what house you got up in that morning. It won't matter how much money you got in your pocket. All you can think about is that precious mother. She's gone. What am I going to do? That's when God says, you ask this thing of thyself, or are you just following along? You got all those out there that say, man, I believe in a man upstairs, and I believe in a supreme being. I believe all of that. Yeah? A man upstairs and a supreme being. His name is Jesus. He's the man upstairs. He's the supreme being. But do you want to know that yourself? Do you want to know it? You see, there are a lot of people out there. I'm an atheist. I'm an agnostic. I don't believe the Bible. It's just a bunch of foolishness. Have you ever really gotten down on your knees and asked God to show Himself to you? Have you ever? You're afraid to. Some of you are scared to death. That if you ever did really open up and pray to God, that He'd answer you. And you'd hear something that you didn't expect to hear. You see, when the heavens turn brass, sometimes it turns brass because you're not real. You're not genuine. You're playing games. I played games for 27 years. I played games till 1973. I played all over the world. I've been everywhere. When you're in the military, you travel. I've been everywhere. And I came back in a little church Third Creek Baptist Church. I heard a voice speak to me for the first time in my life. And I'm telling you right now, thank God I listened. Amen. Matthew chapter 15, verse 22. Look at this one with me this morning. Matthew 15, 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying... Now look at this. We got a Canaanite. Cursed be Canaan. Look at this. She comes out. She's a cursed woman from her genealogy. No choice of her own. No. She didn't choose that. You don't choose the way you're born. You don't choose where you're born. You don't make that. It's not a choice you make. But you can choose if you want the truth. Now look at this. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, cried to him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter's grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, truth. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Now there's something in here. There's something strong in here. Watch this. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now, did he tell her the truth? Yes. Did he tell her that you don't have a right to the food from the children's table? Did he tell her the truth? Of course he did. The Lord Jesus Christ never lied a word in his life. He told her the truth. He gave her the letter. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 6 says this, Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. What's going on here, preacher? John 6, he said, The words that I say unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now to the woman, he said, You have no right to claim this. This is not part of your life. You don't even have business here in this country. You're a Canaanite. You see? That's the letter. That's the letter. She cried unto him and said, Lord, even the dogs can eat the crumbs. Let me tell you what that means. That means that every word of God from Genesis through Revelation, whether it is a negative or whether it's a positive, it makes no difference. Whether it's speaking to you or not speaking to you, it is loaded with life. These were living words that he gave her. They were. And she grasped it. She took hold of it. And she believed it. So what are you saying to me, preacher? I'm saying that whole Bible. There's blessing from Genesis to Revelation. I'm saying that if you'll fill yourself full of this Bible, you'll fill yourself full of life. Amen. You may not understand all of it. I don't understand all of it. But what am I supposed to do? Throw it down? No, I'll just say, Lord, I'm ignorant. Teach me. Amen. Show me. But I believe it. Therefore, I believe words of life. When he said to her, You're a dog. He was still giving her life. Because she received what he said. And then she appealed to mercy. You're a sinner. You're going to hell. I receive that. Then God gives you mercy. You following me? There's life in his words. You know what he said? He said, Everything that hath breath, praise ye the Lord, right? Amen. Where did that breath come from? Amen. Came from God. Amen. In plainer words, he said, Give back to me what I've already given to you and sing praises to God. Amen. In other words, you're singing with your life and you're glorifying God. You ever read in the Bible where an angel breathes? Or a cherubim or a seraphim? Now I'm not saying they don't. But I know this. I know the life of a man, it says in the Old Testament, is in his breath. Whose life is in his breath. That's how transient. That's how it could be easy. You know, I can't think of the word. Vulnerable, that's it. how vulnerable that life is. Just, it's gone. It's over. Angels don't die like that. Seraphim or cherubim don't. But a man, that breath. I'm using that breath to glorify Him. I'm breathing out the Word of God. This breath that I used for 27 years to curse Him and blaspheme Him. Lord knows I did my part. Now I sing praises to His holy name. Why? Because the heart has praise in it for Him. You know why I bless Him? Because He's blessed me. You know why you go around cursing all day long? Let me tell you why you're cursing. You're cursed. That's why. That's why. But if you're ever blessed of God, you'll bless God. Blessed be God. I want you to look at this one here. Luke 9. So we're ministers of the New Testament, the New Covenant, the blood covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Now in Luke chapter number 9, we're talking about the Spirit. Look carefully. And sent messengers, Luke 9:52. Luke 9:52. And sent messengers before His face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready. And they did not receive Him. Look at that. Because His face was as though He would go to Jerusalem. See, there's this animosity between the Samaritan and the Jew. And so when they saw that He was headed to Jerusalem, the Bible says they would not receive Him. And when the disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, these, by the way, are the sons of thunder. James and John saw this. They said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and just incinerate them and consume them, even as Elias did? But He turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Spirit's everything. Spirit's your life. If you've got a wicked spirit, we'll know it. If you've got an arrogant spirit, we'll know it. If you've got a self-serving spirit, we'll know it. If you have the unholy ghost, we'll know it. We'll know it. You remember the girl with the spirit of Python? She walked behind the apostles and said, these be the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. He turned around and He rebuked her. She told the truth, but it was coming from the wrong spirit. That's important. That's important. It's very important. You say, preacher, what can I do about my spirit? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Do it before God puts you down. Say, Lord, here am I, and I don't live without You. I don't breathe without You. I don't get up in the morning without You. I don't eat without You. All clothes I've got on came from You. Car I drove in here this morning, You gave me. My house came from You. Thank You, Lord. If you really say that and mean it, and you begin to touch humility, and humility opens a door that nothing else can open. Intellectualism won't open it. Experience won't open it. It won't do it. The crowd you belong to won't open that door. The Bible said God giveth grace to the humble, but He resisteth the proud. Boy, has this preacher ever had a problem with pride? Oh yeah, I've had my battles. Well, I fought everything. Name it and I've done it. My goodness, man, you can't preach thousands of times without going through, oh, I was a banty rooster at one time. I strutted around. I knew everything. I mean, hadn't been saved long. I knew it all. And then I come to find out after a while, some of those old men that I, you know, say they'd softened up too much. Some of those old men, pretty smart. They knew something. The older I got, the more I started listening to them. The older I got, the more I began to realize they knew things that they could have only gotten from a battlefield and from being in the ministry for years and years and years. And what I try to give you this morning, I try to give you from my heart. That is this. You serve a God that'll never fail you. I got an email from a man the other day. It's one sad, very sad email. He loved the Lord. He spent 2.5 years in intensive care because of some problems he had. And then he finished up his email by saying this. He said this. He said, God hates me. I'm going to answer him, Miss Moreland. I want to answer him tomorrow. He said, God hates me. And I thought to myself, that's sad because he's been through all of this stuff. His life has been destroyed. And the only thing he can figure out is that God hates him. See? Here's where he makes his mistake. I make my mistake. You make your mistake. Don't ever, ever have your relationship with God built on human reasoning. Don't ever do it. Human reasoning will lead you astray. Don't ever relationship with God built upon human interput, human input from somebody. In other words, counsel from men. One man says do this, another one says do that, another one says this. Listen, they all mean well, I'm sure. I'm sure they love the Lord. But folks, you cannot walk with God according to what somebody says. You can't do it with human intellect. And you can't even do it with experience. Because a lot of times, and I remember this for certain, when I started in the ministry, God let me get away with a lot of stuff that I was preaching out of the Bible because I was young and ignorant. And I didn't know any better. I hadn't had an opportunity to learn any better. Are you following me? Right now, he wouldn't let me get away with it for a second. Because I know better. I know better. But what's the point? The point is simply this. If you base your relationship with God on your experience, go back and think about the times in the past when God let you get away with stuff because you were young. You were vulnerable. You weren't mature. You got away with things in the sense that God expects of a mature person. He didn't expect it of you. You're going to have to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And so therefore, your experience with God, you may understand it, but that's not how you relate. Well, how do you then, preacher? What did he say? John 5, verse 6. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he'd been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? Do you really want to be made whole? Or are you like Pharaoh? One more night with the frogs. One more. And he said, I've sinned. One more night with the frogs. In other words, what would you have to gripe about? I mean, if you just really turned your life over to God, what would you use against God all the time? Some people love the darkness. They love to gripe. They love to complain. My goodness. He said to a man sitting at the pool of Bethesda, the word in Hebrew means house of mercy. And he had no mercy. And he was waiting for one to come do something about it. Listen. Timing is important. 38 years he lay at that pool. That's a long time. 38 years. But when the right time came, God delivered him from where he was. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Wait ye therefore upon the Lord. Wait on him, I say. Wait on God. There may be sorrow at night, but joy will come in the morning. You may be in the night of your soul. It may be the darkest time in your life. I've been at times where I thought, God, what have you done? I mean, I thought I was doing what you wanted me to do, and I got into it, and look what a mess it made of it. We've all experienced that. Every one of us. Yet God, in his faithfulness, has never failed me. Are you in a dark place? Are you in a place of confusion? Are you in a place where you don't see any out? Are you about to give up hope? That's the worst thing you can ever do. Don't ever give up hope. Hope makes alive. It's called the blessed hope. Don't give it up. If you have just a little bit, just a slither, just a hair's breadth of something from God that you can take hold of, take hold of it. Take hold of it. That may be all that's left to you, is one promise in the Bible that you will not give up on. Hold on to it. Hold on to it. Hold on to it. At the right time, at the right time, God will start turning the lights on for you. He'll turn them on. He'll turn them on. I got an email from a man this past week. He said he was a drug addict. He said he went to rehab after rehab after rehab after rehab. He said he'd go through the 6-month program, year program, rehab after rehab after rehab. He said he'd come out for a month or two, 3 months. Everything was okay. Then he'd go right back to it again. He went to all of the organizations that deal with drug addicts. He went to every one of them. Did all of that. Did everything you could do. To no avail. He remained a slave. Until he got to the point to where all he had left was that hair. He got on his face and he cried out to God. And he said, somebody moved into him. He could feel the Spirit of God come into him. And he said, that was years ago, and I'm off of drugs completely. He made me free. Has that ever happened for you? Think of it. A drug addiction is a living hell, folks. It's a living hell. And yet God broke it when he moved in. He said he could feel him move into his life. Father, bless your word. Bless it today to the hearing of the people. Word's been sown. The word's been watered. I might have watered today what's already been sown by some faithful servant of the Lord. I might have sown today what has never been sown before. Whether I sow or whether I water, it makes no difference. We're not the ones that matter. It's you that give the increase. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Anybody in this house today say, preacher, it's like that with my life. It's dark. It's real dark.